Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I am your interim host, and I am sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And it's Friday. It's The Mac Show. And I'm super happy to be here because I get to hang out with really cool people and just have a fun time. And I'm glad that all of you are along for the ride, too. Okay, so let's see who we're riding with today. Patrice, how are you doing?
First and foremost, I'm doing muted. No, I'm okay. I'm good mostly. Just crazy and a little bit sick. So, all good.
Well, hopefully
nothing that stops me from doing the show. So.
Okay, good. Good. And hopefully
I just might use the
cough
button
worse.
A lot.
Okay. That's fair. I should probably do that more often, and even when I'm not coughing, I should probably just mute myself and so people don't hear what I'm saying.
Sometimes it's for the better, yeah.
I agree completely. Excuse me. All right. I could do a totally, totally mean transition, but instead I'll just say, Chuck, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. I'm delighted that I'm not muted either by you or by me.
Same. And it's great to see you here today. And oh, I fear Ben's having a stroke. Or he has vocal cords that allow him to speak at frequencies that humans can't hear. Totally plausible. Ben's superpower is he can talk to bats. That's amazing. Ben, how are you?
I'm good. And Jeff, I am still waiting for these totally awesome people you keep promising. All I ever see is us.
Well, you keep showing up, and that's good enough for me. Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, it's great to be here. And oh, that's right. I drop the stories on everyone today, not everyone else dropping stories on me. Sometimes I mix that up. All right. Well, why don't we start with
Dave's notes?
With what?
Dave's notes.
With Dave's notes. Well, funny you should say that because, yeah, okay, Dave isn't with us today. He is traveling and he is on a flight as we record, which means he's actually substantially closer to me geographically right now than he typically is because he may very well be flying over Colorado at this very moment. So, yeah. Just like always, I cribbed our stories from Dave's show notes from In Touch with iOS, and I really appreciate that he is totally cool with us doing that. So, although this first story, well, did this come from Dave's notes? I can't remember now. Let's do a quick follow-up story. So we talked about T-Mobile last week and their plan to raise rates, but for their service packages, but not call it raising rates. And their CEO is backtracking on that in a big way, saying, "Oh, sorry, people, misunderstanding. That's not really what was going on. We were just doing a really small test with some customers that have really old packages." And
oopsie, it was a joke.
Yeah.
Hey Jeff. Mm-hmm. What's the politically correct way of saying bullshit?
That's it right there. Yeah, and Ben, I'm actually kind of with you on this one. I think that they're trying to do damage control for what they're realizing is a bad business move for them right now. They had everything so well prepared for this that it doesn't feel like it was a test program for a small group.
Yeah, there is no way that's a test program. They had way too much set up for that. This is 100% making the Navy look like amateurs of damage control.
Yeah.
I'm with you guys. And even if it were a small test, I mean, what does that say about what you think of your customers, long-time customers? Okay, if they were very old packages, therefore they're long-time customers. So we just decided to test out on our most loyal customers a very unpopular, highly questionable program. And we're all assuming that this is the case, that, you know, that it was a test. I mean, it's almost worse if it was a test than if they had just done it and thought, oh, you know what? Popular demand says we have to walk it back. So,
well, it could have been a test. Like, I mean, take the customers who would never, ever change, were probably also too lazy to even complain about it. Try to upgrade them and see how it goes. And if nobody complains about it, then just keep going. Pick the next customer group, try it again.
I guess you could spin it that way.
If it was a test, they failed.
Well, tests, it's not failure. It's an experiment where you learn something. And what they learned was they chose poorly and then responded in a better way by saying, just kidding.
Yeah. I mean, there was no better choice. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they could have doubled down, but no, they made the right choice in a situation that was bad that they created themselves.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't think this is the end of it. I have a feeling in maybe 6 months, they'll try again, but just like, hey, we're giving you a month or two notice that we're moving you to another plan.
I could see them doing that. I could also see them doing what I suggested as a possible strategy last week, where instead of pushing people mid-cycle into a new plan, when their plan is up for renewal, don't give them the opportunity or the option of continuing with the plan they currently have.
Oh, yeah. That's usually how it's done. Like, you simply, I mean, I had that happen with my utility company. I was moving, and when I moved, they were like, and they almost got me. They were like, oh yeah, sure, we moved you. Here's your new contract.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wait a second. I didn't say anything about any changes to my rate or anything. Like, so I canceled that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's how you do it.
Yep, that's exactly how you do it. Yep.
It's, you know, more and more when you see these kind of things, first of all, I can never believe that anybody sitting around a board table or a marketing table or anywhere else thinks that, oh, nobody will notice. I mean, in the world, in the connected world we have today, they always get caught. Mm-hmm, and so... Mm-hmm. You know,
but they keep trying it anyway, just in case they don't.
Well, that, Ben, that's the way it kind of feels. And it's like, if you would treat your customers with some respect, if you would just be upfront and say, look, we need to raise prices, everything is going up, or we need to change plans because someone is abusing this plan. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to like it, but I'm going to understand it a bit more. And yeah, and mm-hmm. the fact that they... We just keep seeing this over and over and over. Just fascinates me.
Yeah, I mean, there's a definite difference in explaining that, well, the cost of business is going up versus trying to pull a fast one. You don't like it, but you have to live with it. The other one, it just feels dirty.
Well, and see, that's the thing. You know, I wish we didn't have to characterize it as trying to pull a fast one, but that's what it comes off as. Even if it wasn't intended as, honestly, oh, we think we can get away with this. You know, if somebody really sat there and thought this is a great idea, it still comes off feeling really, really bad. And again, think about the fact that all your customers are on social media and are mm-hmm. communicating, or a high percentage anyway. Mm-hmm. So they're going to start... There's that, and then there's the whole mentality that has developed over the internet that we critique the daylights out of everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, if if somebody changes the recipe for something in a major food distribution supplier, everybody has a stroke. Mm-hmm. Because there are people out there that are judging it, watching it, paying attention, or even if they just mention it casually and say, you know, this doesn't taste quite right.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm. I mean, if they would have just went ahead and said, sorry, we handled this poorly, instead of walking it back with some PR speak, that probably would have helped them out too.
Yeah, it would have been nice to see the CEO say, you know what? We listened to what you said. We get it. We're sorry. We're just going to roll that back and it's not going to be a thing. Our bad. And yeah. Moved on.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they did it that way, I can't see, just off the cuff here, I can't see how that would open them to any legal liability.
No. And I think under Laguerre, that's probably what they would have done if they had done anything in the first place.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I wanted to give everyone that follow up because that story was enough of a trigger point for people that we covered it last week on the Big Show and the Mac Show.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And Mac Voices and In Touch with iOS.
God, that's right.
And the Mac Show again.
And the Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was clearly a thing. All right. So next story. And this is one I'm pretty sure everyone was expecting we would start with. Apple introduced a new Apple Pencil. So we now have the Apple Pencil, the Apple Pencil, and the Apple Pencil. And cool. Yeah, because if you look at the names, it's all just Apple Pencil and a parenthetical description of what the device is after the product name.
Yep.
Yeah, but and I mean, that's actually in line with Apple's branding these days. There's the AirPods Pro and the AirPods Pro second generation or something like that.
And
there's,
then
I think,
AirPods
the iPad
Pro.
Air fourth generation and the iPad Air fifth generation, something like that.
Yeah.
And the Apple TV Plus.
Oh,
et
yeah.
Cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's the Apple TV 4K second generation. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's just in line with Apple's branding. Like,
but the difference here is this isn't replacing anything, really. Mm-hmm. This is a new lower product point.
Yes.
Which means this would be like, instead of having the blah 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 blah, it would be like having no AirPods Pro and just calling everything AirPods.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. I mean, Apple basically messed up when they introduced the second generation, the one with the charging. Yeah, mm-hmm. The one with the charging. That's when they messed up, because that one replaced the first one. Kind of. I mean, they kind of sell both, but it was very clearly, okay, this is the new one. The first one is for old devices, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that mm-hmm. was very clearly a replacement. I mean, they still sell the old AirPods. So that's, I mean, Apple does that. But now it's confusing because there's a new one, but that's not really new. It's kind of different and older and doesn't have all the features. And that's where it gets confusing.
Yeah.
Yep.
If they had called the other one the Pro, the second generation, just call it Pro, or even rename it today. If they had said, oh, well, by the way, to make this clear, then second generation is now called the Apple Pencil Pro. Okay.
Yeah. Which Fine. They have done something similar before. They took the third generation Apple TV, or no, fourth generation Apple TV, and then just turned it to the HD.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I mean, doable.
Yeah, this is a very needed product, but the marketing team just plain screwed up on the naming.
Yeah, seems to be an Apple thing. I mean, remember the AirPods Pro second generation Gen 2?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, like... the 2 and the 2.5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, okay, what are you doing?
Yeah. All right, so for those of you that aren't up to speed on the new Apple Pencil, okay, so the original Apple Pencil, the first generation, that's this one, the one that's round and has the cap on the end that you can lose and plugs into the lightning port on your iPad to charge and pair. And this one has pressure sensitivity and supports angles when you're drawing or writing. And then we have the second generation Apple Pencil, which is this one. Mm-hmm. And this is the one that connects magnetically to the side of your iPad and uses inductive charging and excuse me, and pairs when you set this against the magnets. And so this one does everything that the first generation does. And on iPads that support it, this one also includes hover support, meaning that you can move your stylus around without touching the screen and still perform some actions. Then you have the new Apple Pencil, and that one uses USB-C to charge and to pair with your iPad. And it uses magnets only to hold it to the side of your iPad. And this one does not have pressure sensitivity, and it doesn't have the tap gesture support on the Apple Pencil like the second generation does. There's another thing it doesn't do.
No hover.
Yeah, no hover. There we go. Thank you.
It hovers.
Oh, it does?
It will hover, it just won't do any of the other things.
Okay. So original Apple Pencil costs $99. Second generation Apple Pencil is $129. The Apple Pencil with USB-C is $79.
So, I mean, one thing is clear. This is the EU version.
Yeah.
They needed a version that has USB-C, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of it. And it's cheaper.
It's cheaper. I mean, they needed USB-C only if they weren't going to use inductive charging.
Yeah.
Okay, that's true. But if you want to replace, or if you want to stop selling the first gen, then because that you can't sell anymore under the new world,
mm-hmm.
then you need USB-C. So this is very clearly price point and everything, a replacement of the first gen, not the second gen.
Yeah. That checks out.
And I mean, why people will say this does not have the same features as the first gen, to the people that the first gen is currently selling, most likely they will use only the features in the new one. The home button lightning iPads have become not a drawing tool, but basically a low-end iPad for about 5 years now.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them are obsolete at this point anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've come up with my own matrix for deciding which Apple Pencil you need. If you have an iPad 9 or earlier, that's right, around flying Apple Pencils. If you have an iPad 9 or earlier, so this would be an iPad that has a lightning connector on it, you get the first gen Apple Pencil because that's the one that can connect to your iPad.
Yeah.
If you have a USB-C iPad, then assuming it's one that has full Apple Pencil support, which actually I think at this point, isn't it all of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All of them except for the 10th gen iPad.
The 10th gen iPad, it can support the first gen Apple Pencil and the USB-C Apple Pencil.
Yeah.
So that's the weird one in the matrix, because it crosses over. All right. Mm-hmm. So if you have a USB-C iPad, then you need to decide, do you want inductive charging, or does that matter for you? Do you...
Does your iPad even support it?
Does your iPad even support it? And if your iPad does support it, then do you need pressure sensitivity and tap gestures on the Apple Pencil? And if the answer is, I'm not going to use my Apple Pencil in a way where pressure sensitivity matters, spend $79.
Mm-hmm. Or zero. Maybe you don't need an Apple Pencil at all.
And yeah, get a third party stylus. Okay, one other thing to throw in the matrix. If you have a collection of iPads like me, mm-hmm. and you plan to use your Apple Pencil on all of the iPads or more than one iPad, then you want to spend $129 for convenience, because you have to take a USB-C cable for the USB-C Apple Pencil, plug it into the Pencil, plug it into the iPad to move it to the other iPad. With the second generation Apple Pencil, you just set it on the charger magnet place, pull it off, and it's paired.
Yeah, as I said, you don't have to buy a pencil. You know, that one guy, like, you know, the guy who once said, like, the best pencil is this one.
Oh, yeah, I remember that guy.
That guy.
Steve Works, something like that.
Like the Book of Jobs?
Yeah. It was already in the Bible, right?
Right.
So let me ask a question, because I honestly haven't thought about this for a long time. There was a period where you would go to company meetings and they would inevitably hand out a pen that was sort of a combination pen / stylus.
Well, those mm-hmm. suck.
Yeah, well, they did, and I agree. But I honestly don't know that I ever tried one, because I and they obviously have no power to them. Do they work?
Yes.
Not very well.
Not very well.
Okay, that's
hence my comment. Okay. They suck.
Yeah, it's basically like a finger. Like, it mm-hmm. works like a finger. It's inductive like a finger. So it's kind of not very
well. That was, Patrice, that's what I've, you know, first of all, I never wanted to use it because I was never convinced that it wouldn't potentially damage the screen of the iPad, even with a screen protector on. So mm-hmm. I just had no desire. But, I got to thinking, okay, my finger, you know, has the capacitive touch. But yeah. does an unpowered stylus?
Do you remember back before Apple actually, which is I think for 8 years, right? 2018, I think the iPad Pro was the first. Also, was 2017, something like that. The first iPad Pro was the first that had a stylus. Before then, you used unpowered styluses that basically just mimicked a finger. It was a little bit more precise, maybe, but it was just, it worked like a finger. It had that squishy bit at the bottom. Yeah, it was basically capacitive.
There were a handful of styluses that were powered because they were doing different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were some that had APIs in the app then and somehow over Bluetooth communicated. There was a way to mm-hmm. do that. But officially, I think because the stylus kit or whatever it was called, I think existed for a couple of years before that. But for years, we didn't have that.
Yeah, and I have a box full of capacitive touch styluses.
And all of them sucked.
Yeah, there was one that was good, and it was
the name?
The Pencil by 53.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I remember that.
A fantastic stylus.
Not being an Apple Pencil person, I never paid that much attention. It was just an interesting process. And then when the actual Apple Pencil came out and it had the ability to do the pressure sensitivity and all that, it made perfect sense that Apple would do something like this to, you know, to open it up to a new audience. But I keep wondering, you know, if you need a stylus, excuse me, do you need a pencil? Do you need a stylus? Do you need whatever you want to call it? And what's the cheapest, easiest way for you to test it out, test something out? Because we've talked about the knockoffs, that they are a very viable alternative for someone who doesn't need all the features. And that's what I'm using. So, you know, because I don't have the need, because I do not do anything creative in that sense. But I could not remember. So what about the unpowered one sucked? Was it just inconsistency? Was that the big thing? Or
it's lack of precision, because I mean, it can be as precise as your finger. So or kind of, it's a little bit better because you can hold it differently or whatever. It's probably a little bit better than your finger. But it's as thick as your finger. Like you can't do like a thin line or something, or not easily at least. Okay. Stuff like that. You don't have the pressure sensitivity. You don't have all the things that you would expect from even a physical pencil, like how you would use it. Right. You don't get that. So yeah,
there was a company that tried to overcome that issue. And I forgot the name of the company because it's been so long now, but they had a very small tip that was in the center of a clear plastic disc.
Yes.
I remember that. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you could see where the tip was on the screen, and it offered more precision, but I mean,
the problem is still that the signal that the iPad gets is as big as a finger, because back then it was optimized, like the touchscreen was optimized for fingers.
Mm-hmm.
So it only reacted when something that looked like a finger to the iPad would like be used. Apple actually had to invent new display technology for that, like more like a finer grid and more precision, and even like the touch sensitivity, like that it could have different, like it could detect different levels of force and stuff like that. They invented a lot of stuff to make that work, because originally it was, okay, there's a finger, it's this size. If you get a signal that looks like this, it's probably a finger. That's all they could do. And that's what those pencils could simulate. Like they could only work within the limitations of what iOS, or most of them could, what iOS did. I said that there were a couple that paired with some apps and did some Bluetooth magic and got a little bit better, but ultimately, yeah, the signal you get. And I think all those pencils with Bluetooth did was pressure sensitivity. They could do that.
Yes. Like Adobe. What was theirs? Was it the slide? I can't remember now.
There were a ton of them.
The Adobe stylus was pretty cool, because they actually had their own software that was running with it, and it gave you pressure sensitivity, and it gave you everything you got with an Apple Pencil plus more. But for that to really work, or for you to be able to really take advantage of all those things, app developers needed to incorporate Adobe's API for the stylus. And when they did, it was an incredibly powerful tool.
Yeah. Yes, sir. We've come a long way.
We certainly have. And now Chuck is reminiscing about all these styluses he's played with over the years that he had completely forgotten about.
Yeah. And in the background, Chuck, we can see his iPad with the stylus on top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. There, that just hurt my wrist. And the funny thing is, I never, you know, played with them is a good way to say it, because I just never found. I'm only now starting to find use cases for having even a knockoff. Definitely not, because I had an Apple Pencil and I gave it to someone who was going to make a whole lot more use of it than I was, but. Yeah, it's an interesting. Oh, but the one thing I did want to bring up, because it was always one of my concerns, is that if you're whatever you're scratching on your screen with, you, I mean, that's an expensive piece of hardware. So for heaven's sake, spend $8 or $9 and get a, maybe a little more, and get a screen protector for your iPad. I mean, I'm a big believer in screen protectors, but this is something where you're going to take something and actually be moving it across the screen. And so hopefully the tip is such that it would not do any damage. And especially if you're going to use a knockoff, you know, it does not affect the functionality of the iPad.
I have been using the magnetic screen covers. So the first one that I got was by Pentips, and actually, Chuck, I think it was one of my holiday picks on Mac Voices gift guides. Might have even been last year.
A magnetic?
Yes. Yeah, so it's a clear screen protector, and it gives you a paper-like texture, and it attaches to the screen using the same magnets that are already in the iPad. So it just holds it in place. And it doesn't really impact the visual quality of the display. And it gives you the ability to feel more like you are writing or drawing on paper. So it gives you more of a paper tactile feel. The other one, actually, it's going to show up any day now. It's AstroPad's rock, paper, pencil. Apparently, those of us that ordered on the first day that didn't get a shipment that day, ours are finally going out. And so mine has made it to the United States. And so that will work the same way. Interesting thing about those type of screen covers, because you can take them off when you don't want to use them, they come with different tips for your Apple Pencil, or at least you can get different tips for your Apple Pencil so that you can create an even more paper tactile sort of feel. So now here's a use case for a $79 Apple Pencil, second Apple Pencil, one with the custom tip and one without. Mm-hmm. So like I could put the custom tip on my $129 Apple Pencil for doing art and leave the regular tip on the $79 one for when I'm just doing notes and stuff, because I'm probably not going to have the screen cover on for that. Oh, man. I had no intention of getting a new Apple Pencil. And Chuck, how did you manage to get me to go through the mental contortions to come up with a valid use case for myself? I blame you for this.
That's perfectly all right. I'm happy to deliver.
It was the Chuck Eye mind trick.
It was. Oh, man.
And Jeff, I thought you would go like some different way. You're like, here's some use case for a $79 pencil. And it's like, I don't know, to prop up a window or something like that. Stick it in a pot as a plant. Oh.
No,
that's the use case for this.
Okay, for the first gen. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, put it in. as a brace.
That's a
plant that's starting to droop. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's brilliant. Well, great. Honestly, now I have to buy a bunch so that I can just use them as little utility things around the house.
Yeah.
Wasn't that what Tuvok was using to like playing this game? Weren't those Apple pencils?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But as far as the new one goes, if you're on the fence, buy one of these Fujojos. God, I feel dirty saying that. For $15, it'll approximate what it would feel like to use the Apple one. Then if you like using it with a stylus, buy the Apple one and use this as a either a backup, toss it in the trash, whatever, because this won't last.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are disposable styluses.
Yeah. And the other thing, the Apple one, we'll use the same tips as the first and second gen.
Yes, Apple has not changed tips.
Yeah.
And actually, that brings up something interesting for me, because these tips are very easy to just unscrew and put different tips on. Why hasn't Apple released different tip shapes and different tip textures?
They're a party opportunity.
Yeah. No, why would they? Apple is saying all of that can be done in software. One tip fits all, right?
Okay, that's fair. And Apple does say that using an Apple Pencil on an iPad without any screen protector on it feels just like you're using pen or pencil on paper. And it does not. It feels like using plastic on glass.
Yeah, which is fine for most people.
Yeah, and
I don't care.
Well, so does anybody
need that tactile feedback? And it, does anybody difficult for me.
Make tips that in different sizes, shapes, textures?
Yeah. Different textures.
Okay.
Yeah. No, even different shapes and sizes you can get.
Okay. Again, I'm not a tip aficionado.
I've only once unscrewed a tip because I broke one, so I had to buy a new one.
All right. So here's the most important thing for today. I just got a text from Dave Ginsberg, and he is flying over Colorado right now. So, hi, yeah. Dave. He's Dave. Probably not watching us, but
yeah.
But
if he is, it's a very expensive show.
Right.
Hey, I'm going to throw in to the chat a link to an Amfilm glass screen protector. Now, this one is for the iPad Mini 6. Okay. So it just happened to be the one that is the one I purchased most recently. But I've been using these Amfilms for a long, long time. And they are
They're very good.
They're very good. They're not expensive. I have broken one or two on my phone, and they broke, the phone didn't. So take this as, you know, maybe something that invest that much money and just protect your iPad, unless you are. And Jeff, I don't know. It would be interesting if you took this, applied it, and then applied one of those magnetic ones that can be removed and see if there's any function issue. Because I kind of like the idea of the magnetic, but that means I got to pay attention to, is it on? Is it off? I have no idea how easily they get manipulated or moved around, and do they ripple or so? This applies. It stays there. You don't even know it's there.
It's interesting.
What are you manipulating, Chuck?
The reality and fabric of space-time.
Yes. Oh, okay. Or the reality and fabric of the magnetic iPad cover. But thank you for bringing it up.
Or the reality of my bank account.
Well, I'm trying.
Yeah, very real. That's true. Yeah.
We need to stimulate the economy, Jeff.
You know, for...
Well, but you know how that works. I sent you $2, you sent me $2 back. We just increased GDP by $4.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
All right. Well, now I'm looking at this thinking, for $7.88 for two of these covers, I mean, I've never put a tempered glass screen protector on an iPad. But I could put it on my iPad mini and just see what I think.
Yeah. And again, don't pay attention, because the link is to the specific one for that iPad. They have them, I think, for just about every iPad. So if you're going to use that link, iPhone, iPad, but so just make sure you maybe go to the store or do a search and make sure it matches your iPad if you decide to use that link.
Mm hmm. And there they go. They have tons of these, and not just for Apple products.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's cool. Not as cool, though, as TSO hosts. so true. And here's the thing. TSO Host is absolutely awesome because they're helping us to be here for all of you every single week. What they do is provide web hosting services, and they have the infrastructure to make all of that work really well and super reliable. I mean, think about it. When was the last time you weren't able to load the British Tech Network website? That's right.
Never.
It just doesn't happen. It works all the time. So what they're doing is giving us the hosting space we need so that we have a place for that website to be rock solid. They're giving us server space so that we have a place for all of the show recordings to live, so you can watch or listen to episodes anytime you want. And then they are also giving us the bandwidth so we can live stream shows to you every week, just like we're doing right now. And the resources it takes to do this, it's kind of crazy. And without their generous help, we wouldn't be able to do this. So we really, really appreciate TSO Hosts. And yeah, thank you, TSO Hosts. So please go online, thank them for being here and supporting us. It's easy to do. And it's important feedback, really. They're giving back to the community. So the least we can do is let them know that we appreciate that they are doing this. So please go give them some online love. For those of you that are ready to pick up a new domain, maybe get some web hosting, well, check them out, because we are a perfect test case for how reliable they are, because everything just works. So if you found the perfect domain name, like maybe it's a website where you're just listing all these cool things that people can get, and maybe it's chuckspendsjeffsmoney.com. And so you've got the domain name, but you need a website to go with it. Put that domain name in your cart, add in a hosting package, and then add in the discount code BTN20 and get 20% off that order. So not only are they being incredibly generous by helping us to be here, they're being even more generous by offering all of you, the BTN family, a nice discount on their services. So thank you to TSO Host for being here and supporting us. And Patrice, I just always love saying, would you mind telling people about the chat?
Of course, I would love to do that. So we have a really cool live chat. You can join that live chat you can join it anytime, but usually you would join it whenever we are recording this show or the shows on BTN, which you can do we're recording every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for the big show, for the Mac show. Even with time zone changes and everything, there's time zone changes, like daylight saving changes and all of that, it's always 4 p.m. UK time, very easy. You just have to figure out what that is in your time zone. And yeah, then you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and you're in. That's how easy it is. Really, really cool. And then you can see all the links they're posting, the cool things, other funny things. You can talk to other people that are listening, all of that. So it's a really cool live chat. By the way, we have also the big show on Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time. So if you're into the non-Apple side of things, like chip designs and space technology and gaming and you name it, anything else basically that's technology, you can do that. And that's how easy it is to join the live chat. But let's say you are listening to this in the recorded form, in like it's called a podcast, and we record that for a reason and publish it on a website, you can still at least see what was talked about. Like, you can find the links and everything. There's a transcript. We have a little bot in our chat room that records all of that and puts it up on the website. And in order to find that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a little calendar that asks you very nicely for a date And you put in the date that you want to see, which is usually the recording date of a show, which for this show would be the 20th of October, October 20th, 2023. And if you put that in, you will see everything that was talked about.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that. You always do it so well.
Sometimes.
Well, okay. Compared to me, you always do it so well. Yeah. All right. So let's dive into some cool things now, as long as we're here. And who has the first thing this week? Wow, so many cool things flying into the chat.
I'm preparing mine.
There we go.
All right, Ben, what do you have for us?
I have a fantastic deal. Okay. I think many of us are aware of Samsung's M8 series monitors. They are USB-C smart displays that have the option for a camera. They're all ultra high, and my brain is 4K.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right now, the 32-inch model is selling for 30% off. Well, $499 instead of $699. In fact, right now, the 32-inch is actually cheaper than the 27-inch.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. It has a lot of stuff you probably won't need, but it's also a very good monitor.
That's cool.
And that is an absolutely fantastic price.
So I'm looking at the photos. Mm-hmm. And in the bottom right, there's a little thing sticking down, kind of flat. What is that?
Is that a
I think that's just the background.
No, there's something.
No, there's a thing.
It's got a remote.
Oh, so the remote just attaches magnetically to the display.
Yeah.
Okay.
What the? Okay.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of like a TV monitor hybrid.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, why would you need a remote for your monitor? But okay.
Well, yeah, if it has a TV built in, then you need a remote for your monitor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it runs on, I think, Tizen.
All right.
So it has pretty much the same smart TV stuff that Samsung's TVs would.
Neil deGrasse?
Tyson? Yeah, it took me a second, but I caught up.
USB-C and an HDMI port. And you get a couple of USB-As.
Very cool.
Oh, it also has it full AirPlay.
Oh, okay. Nice. So I could see where if you had a small space and you're looking for a television, but also wanted a display for your computer,
mm-hmm.
this could be a nice way to go.
Yeah. Yeah, this would be great for a tiny house.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. Chuck.
So I'm dedicating my picks to Jeff today.
Yeah.
And I'm doing two of them, one of which he's aware of already, one of which is brand new. But these are Lego models of starships and Star Trek related things. What's interesting about this is that they don't necessarily sell you the bricks. They sell you the design and tell you exactly which bricks you need to buy to build which particular starship. So the first one is Mini Trek Mox. The second one is an organization called Rebrickable. That and it, what's interesting now, I saw the mini Trek mocks in Vegas at the Star Trek convention this year. I mean, it's impressive. It's impressive because they are small, so they don't cost a whole lot to build, and they really do. The gentleman that did this, it's a labor of love. He really has put together models that look like the little ships. I have not seen the rebrickables other than on the website. But they too look like they're pretty well done, especially I noticed the new for 2023, the warp cores, the various warp cores. So If you're into Lego, like somebody on the panel I know is, this could become a very expensive pick for them, or it could become, you know, something that can be eased along a few models at a time. Not my thing, but I think it's really fascinating, all the things, especially the ones Jeff has brought to the table that are huge. These are very small that you could easily display on a couple of them on the desk and not even realize that they're there.
Yeah, and there's a reason these are kind of fan things and not actual Lego, because... Lego does not have the Star Trek license. Little Bricks does.
Mm-hmm. Which, right. I mean, and Little Bricks is doing some really cool things. However, it's not Lego. Yeah. So Rebrickable, this is a site that I've known about for a while, Chuck, but I had never gone to look at the Star Trek stuff. And so now here we are. So thanks for that.
Yes, like a 10,000 part or 9,500 part Borg cube that you can build.
So. Oh my god.
Yes. Your bricks will be assimilated.
And resistance is futile.
Literally. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You know, doing Star Trek and they call them mocks, my own creation. That's what that means. They're difficult because there's so much that's round in Star Trek. And that's kind of hard to do with bricks that typically aren't round.
Yeah. So that's why Borg cubes are perfect, because they're not round.
And it's also why the Star Wars kits need so many custom bricks. Well, you're not able to do that when one of the inspired by companies has the license.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... I found one that suddenly looks really enticing to me. And hold on, I'm going to drop this one back into the into our links. That, I mean, because that's just a nice display overall.
Yeah.
And that looks really nice. Well, there's a high likelihood that that Chuck, you are spending more of my money.
I'm more than happy to do it, Jeff.
Oh, I just realized the instructions for this one. It's a free download.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice. All right. Well, I just downloaded the crap out of that.
I was just going to say, Jeff's image flickered as he was downloading the...
Yeah.
The free...
As I was scraping the entire site.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just have Chuck, or not Chuck, but Jeff show up in a Borg costume for Halloween next week.
Completely made out of Lego.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it.
All right, Patrice. First, thank you for not spending my money. And tell us about your cool thing.
Because you already spent money on that one.
Well, it's not a whole lot of money.
That's true. It wasn't a lot. Yeah, so season 3 of The Morning Show. Has been going on for a couple weeks, I think. I don't remember, like 4 or 5 episodes, 5 episodes, I think, as of today. It's really, honestly, season one was good for season one. Mm-hmm. Season two was kind of, I think they struggled a little bit with pandemic and everything and writing and figuring things out. This season is good again. Maybe even better than season one. Definitely better than season one, I would say. Not going to spoil anything that happens, but Jon Hamm is back. Like, everybody that you would expect is back and is in, and they have a really good crew and good cast. And the story is actually interesting, what they're doing, what they're trying. Don't agree with all the decisions that were made. There's like one or two things where I'm like, okay, like a journalist would never do that way. But I mean, it's a fictional TV show, so.
Right, sometimes they do stuff just, yeah.
Yeah, where I'm like, okay. Probably, okay, it's more entertaining that way. Probably wouldn't have happened. But mm-hmm. It's fine. It's not supposed to be that way. But yeah, it's a good show.
Cool. All right. I've never actually started watching The Morning Show. And not because I'm avoiding it, but because every time I think, oh, I should start watching it, there's another series that starts.
I have that problem too.
And I jump in, and yeah.
Mm. I haven't started Invasion, for example. I haven't even finished Good Omens, the new season.
Oh.
I started it and then got distracted by all the other stuff happening and never finished it.
I think you, I'm doing no spoilers here, Patrice, I think you're going to love and hate the ending of season two.
Oh, I bet. Because that's Good Omens.
Because that's Good Omens. Yep. Yep.
That's kind of why I watch it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed season two of Good Omens.
Yeah. But here's a huge spoiler. The Doctor is a demon.
And a robot. He's also a robot.
And he's also
in a different
That's
show.
True. It just depends on your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a detective.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and a supervillain.
Mm-hmm.
Which supervillain? Oh, he's a supervillain twice.
Yeah, the Purple Man.
Yeah, have you watched Inner Space, Ben?
No.
You need to check it out. I think it's on Hulu, but I'm not certain. I'm sorry, I cannot remember which service it's on, but it's animated, and it's clearly an adult animated series, so totally adult topics, but at the same time, a little bit of a taste of Lower Decks with humor in it. And this is a show that started before Lower Decks was a thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm only finding a movie with that title. Interesting.
Yeah, from the 80s.
Yeah,
not that one. maybe it's Final Space. Hold on. Look up Final Space.
Final Space. I mean, show from 2018. That looks better. Yes.
Yep, Final Space.
Looks like...
And David Tennant voices a character in that.
Not available for streaming. Let's see. You can buy it on Amazon for $12.99. That's all you get.
Oh, interesting. Well, lame. Yeah. All right. Well, Final Space is not my cool thing, but my cool thing does relate to space. And Chuck and I are on the same theme here. So this was a pick of mine a while ago, and it's called Tales of the Space Age. And I've had the kit sitting around for a while, and just there's been so many things going on. I couldn't build it, but I did. And this is what it looks like. And each of these comes apart, so you can display them individually or as a group if you want. And on the back, there's a spot right here. This Lego piece is designed specifically to be a picture hanger. So you can hang these on the wall. And they the you'd think something that's built like this would just fall apart because it would just be too wobbly. But they did this really clever thing with these bars on the back side that act as braces. So it is not going to come apart. And each of the little builds is fun on its own. And the instructions are broken up. Excuse me. So if you wanted to do this build with friends, each person could take their sets of bags and their set of instructions and do their little build. And they look really nice. So Chuck, this is why when I saw that Enterprise one, I got really excited, because that one is clearly designed to be the same size and fit in with these. Yeah. So I'm now going to have to build the Enterprise and add it to this set.
Make it so.
I will make it so. The kit is still available. It's $50 and it's 688 pieces. So it's less than a dime a brick, which means it falls below my good deal threshold for Lego kits. And there you go. All right. I was not expecting us to talk as long as we did about Apple Pencils or the T-Mobile walk back.
You have met us, right?
I have. Exactly. I actually have four stories ready for today, for just in case. But that
you can give us zero stories and whatever, one word, and we can talk 10 hours about
yeah.
that.
Yes, absolutely true. So anyhow, I guess what that means is that if we end up with a slow news week next week, I already have two stories matter. Lined up and ready to go. Anyhow, thank you to all of you for being so Jeff, awesome. Yes, Chuck.
Before we leave the subject, I had not done this, but the link that you put in the show notes for the Final Frontier mm-hmm. item, if you scroll down on that page, there are a whole lot of what look to be very similar things to what you just showed. It's not just the Enterprise, but a lot of others that would really go well with what you built.
I did see those. And,
I did not see those.
And it's giving me some ideas, because the build itself for the background is it's a very consistent style. So it's easy to create additional backdrops and then add in whatever foreground and other special elements you want. So it's a really well-designed kit, because it lends itself to the creativity that you should have with Lego.
Yeah, I just didn't want you to miss it. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I didn't want you to
Oh, no. It. And thank you for thinking of me. Yeah. Okay, so with that, seriously, thank you to all of you for just being so awesome and giving me such a wonderful start to my weekend. You are fantastic. And if we were all here, I would give all of you consensual hugs, and it would just be awesome. So thank you. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me here every week on the Mac Show and on the Big Show. I'm trying to remember. Sorry, my brain is not working today. Trying to remember where I am. Yeah, Big Show, Mac Show every week on British Tech Network. You can find out everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcasts, the projects, everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to me more and other really cool people, especially with not a broken voice like mine today, then like I have a really cool interview show where I interview people about food-related stories and memories and just everything that goes with that on foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. And if you haven't checked out Foodie Flashback, do it, because it is a wonderfully fun show. And really interesting, too.
Yeah, that I should pause the remaining episodes that I still have. I still have 2 episodes, I think, that I recorded.
Oh, well, then that means we all have something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is where you'll find everything I'm doing. Had sort of a week playing a little bit of catch up on some things, but also we've had some really great discussions with different people. I will tease one thing that next week is going to be very special on Mac Voices. So starting Monday, you will get to hear from some people that I think you all already know, but it's going to be in a little bit different format and for a very different reason. So there you go. And on all the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner. And on the major socials, you can also find me as at Mac Voices. Thank you, Jeff.
Awesome. And I'm looking forward to next week. So everyone, just so you know, Chuck is holding this one very close to his chest. I have no idea what he has planned. So I'm just as intrigued as everyone else.
It's one of those, Jeff, you know, you hate to pre-announce things because one of the recordings is not done yet, but you know, we're going to, I feel pretty confident in teasing it. So at the very least, you'll have a couple of days of what I have planned and hopefully the better part of the week.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Okay. And Ben, where can people find you?
Well, Jeff, you can find me at Ben Reithig on the plethora of social media. You can find my writings at Reithig.tech. On Tuesdays, you can find me on Mac Voices with that Chuck Joyner guy. Thursday nights, you can find me on In Touch with iOS with Plain Boy, Mr. Dave Ginsburg. And Thursday and Friday, you can find me on the Big Mac Show.
Awesome. And Ben, you know, for the longest time, we weren't on shows together, and now we are. And I feel like I really missed out for a long time because we weren't doing shows together.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we fixed that.
That was Patrice and Kelly's job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I get it. You need handlers.
Yeah, but who's going to handle them?
You can't.
No, you can't.
You can't handle us.
There are certain forces of nature that we simply accept. Yep. You can't redirect a hurricane. And you can't control Patrice and Kelly. It's just a thing.
Yeah, if it, hurricanes, tsunamis, tornadoes, Patrice, Kelly. Yeah, it all kind of goes together.
Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Yep. Okay, so for me, social media is Jay Gamut. And I'm most active on Mastodon and Instagram. And I'm finally starting to get a little more regular with dabbling in Threads. So we'll see how that goes. Then shows. Chuck lets me join in on Mac Voices Live. So thanks for that. So that's on Tuesdays. Then on Thursdays, Dave Ginsburg lets me join in on In Touch with iOS. And Dave, I hope you're having a totally uneventful flight right now. And I'm guessing at this point he is outside Arizona. Of Colorado again, or at least pretty close to outside Colorado. And then let's see. So Thursdays here on the British Tech Network for the big show, then here again, like right now for the Mac show. And Brian Chaffin and I record the Context Machine. This week's episode is already out. So go check that out. And with that, thank you again to the three of you for just being so wonderful and awesome. And I totally get and appreciate how lucky I am to have all of you in my life. You are just awesome.
So lucky.
Wait until you see the bill.
Oh, it's It's totally worth the cost. But that's only because last time I saw Chuck, I lifted his credit card.
I just send it to Ewan.
And I'll just send it to Ewan. That's right. So, hey, everyone that watches and listens live, participates in the chat, thank you for being here. I'm so glad you're here with us. You are all awesome. And everyone that watches or listens to the show recordings later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. I'm glad you're here with us, even when it's not in real time. And TSO hosts, thank you for being here to support us. Everyone go give them some online love. Speaking of love, Ewan, thank you for being you. And Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for the shows. Those of you that are already watching the Daily News Show, so glad you're part of that. If you're not, check it out. Kyle is amazing. And when you check out the show, you'll realize he's so amazing that it's totally worth it to just throw money at that show so we can keep it going. So please do that. All right. So with that, don't forget to join us next Thursday for the big show. And then come back again on Friday for the Mac Show. And I hope everyone has an awesome weekend.